Hello, Saints. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we ask you, Lord, to give us wisdom and discernment into the things you're speaking to us and showing us concerning the things to come. Thank you so much, Father. Amen. Well, all right. I want to share an awesome revelation with you. We called it Crucifixion. And then to the throne to judge. So, and this first revelation that we're going to share was given to Eve Brast on June the 24th, this 2019. And it's very interesting. Very interesting. For the past month, Father has opened my spiritual eyes to see a demon sitting on its haunches on top of the cabinet in David's living room where the empty gas lights sit with the photographs of David and his family and Michael are. It has the body of a gargoyle and is gray, but it has no wings. It has long, black, curved, sharp claws on its fingers and toes. It has a wide head and widely set back eyes and a wide mouth full of shark's teeth. It also has gray quills along its spine like a porcupine and small short quills all over its head and face. We've always called the porcupine Christians the faction because they're you can't do anything without them getting offended and stabbing you. When I first saw it at the morning meeting, I wondered in my mind why the angels allowed it to remain there, because there's three angels that regularly join our meetings. Two of them sit up in the balcony, and one of them is in by the water container. And Baruch, one of the angels, spoke into my mind that God had permitted it and that they were not to remove it. Okay. I asked him why it was there, and he told me it was a buffeting demon, but not to worry because its job was almost finished, and at that time they would remove it. Praise the Lord. Well, that brings to mind, of course, 2 Corinthians 12:7. And by reason of the exceeding greatness of the revelations, that I should not be exalted overmuch, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger, which the Greek word there is angelos, it's an angel, of Satan, to buffet me. There's the buffeting angel or buffeting demon there. That I should not be exalted over much. And Mark 14:65 says, and some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to buffet him. There it is again, buffet. And to say unto him, prophesy. And the officers received him with blows of their hands, a buffeting demon. And 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul seems to be in agreement with this in a way. But I buffet my body and bring it into bondage, lest by any means after that I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected. So the buffeting thing is a crucifixion, you know, to, well, humble us and also to bring about the death to self and so on. And of course, death comes before resurrection, so it's a good thing. It was my understanding that it's not a new presence. It has been with David for many years, and it's almost finished. Only recently was I permitted to see it, and it has been assigned to David. It is a crucifixion demon. And the verses that Eve received by faith at random fit this demon's work of crucifixion perfectly. That's amazing. Listen to this. Then, that morning, while still in the meeting, I asked for a couple of words for this creature and received by faith at random John 18:35 and in context 33-40. Pilate therefore entered again into the praetorium and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered, Sayest thou this of thyself, or did others tell it thee concerning me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Well, you know, the word says he came unto his own, and his own received him not, right? What hast thou done? And Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. How did he say this? Well, by his actions against him, you know. To this end have I been born, and to this end am I come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find no crime in him. But you have a custom that I should release unto you one of the at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? And they cried out therefore again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas, of course, was a robber. So they had turned factious against Jesus by the evil leadership. And the second word was Luke 23:20. Some people don't believe you can do this. Well, look at the verses here and look at the context, okay? Then the context here is 23:25. And Pilate spake unto them again, desiring to release Jesus. But they shouted, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, Why, what evil hath this man done? I found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. But they were urgent with loud voices, asking that he might be crucified. And their voices prevailed, and Pilate gave sentence that what they asked should be done. And he released him that for insurrection and murder had been cast into prison, whom they asked for. But Jesus he delivered up to their will, that is, to crucifixion. And of course, these are the verses that God gave to Eve to confirm this crucifying demon that the Lord had given to me. And I bear witness that it is the truth. But look, since both Paul and Jesus were crucified through the work of this angel of Satan, it's clear that this fits the David Manchild reformers too. I have felt that the crucifixion verses that we have been receiving in our morning prayer meeting were for me and the Manchild reformers. And I believe that when this demon is taken away, it will be like it was with Job. His factious friends were rebuked by God as liars against him. And then Job's friends, who had been separated from him through this faction, and his family and fortune were returned to him with fruit. The factious false friends of Job also type those who persecuted Jesus and David. They are typed as the Edomites in Eve's vision, which I'm going to share with you in just a minute, on the same day. where Jesus, as a type of David and the David man-child reformers, take down apostate, factious Edom. Interesting. This is telling us what is coming here. A great shaking is coming. So then Eve had this revelation on the same day, June 24th, 2019. And it was a vision of Jesus judging the factious. So you have both Jesus and David in Scripture judging the factious. And of course, David was a type of the man-child. And so Jesus, too, was a type of the man-child, because he comes in the man-child through his word to be a reformer. And Eve said, "For the past couple of meetings, I've had a vision that opened up to me of Jesus sitting on what looked like a polished white marble throne. He was wearing garments that were a maroon color, with a crown of gold on his head. The maroon color represents blood here, but it represents the blood of the wicked, as the scripture says. I watched as an angel brought up to his right-hand side a white horse by the reins. But the horse had no saddle or covering of any kind on its back. Jesus took the reins as he got up from the throne and mounted the white horse to ride. Then the vision closed to me." Well, of course, this text about him wearing this maroon garment is quoted in Isaiah 63:1-4. Who is this that cometh up from Edom? Well, we know Esau's seed, whose father sold their birthright through a root of bitterness against their chosen brother Jacob, is what Edom represents here. With dyed garments from Bozrah, meaning the sheepfold. It's the sheepfold of Edom, of the apostates, of the factious. And this that is glorious in his apparel, marching in the greatness of his strength, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine vat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and the peoples there was no man with me. And of the peoples there was no man with me. Yea, I trod them in mine anger, and trampled them in my wrath, and their life blood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my raiment. For the day of vengeance was in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. Well, there's no other place where Jesus wore those stained garments, so this has got to be what it's talking about. You know, David conquered the Edomites when he came to the throne. And here we see Jesus doing this from his throne. And Jesus, as we know, was given the throne of David, you know, uniting the two, to rule over God's people, just like David did. And by the way, the man-child ministry is the same. Jesus also rules on the throne of the hearts of righteous men, which the first fruits man-child is. And David was a man to whom it was said was after God's own heart. So he rules in the heart of David, right? The David man-child in whom Jesus lives by his word and spirit fits this whole scenario. This ministry will conquer the Edomites, who type today those seed of Abraham who hate and falsely accuse their brother Jacob, a type of the true church. In other words, the Edomites represent apostate Christians who must be judged first. Quote, "For the time is come for judgment to begin at the house of God," unquote. So who is the white horse rider? Okay, let's look at the white horse and its rider. Many have asked me who the white horse rider is in the first sealed judgment of the tribulation. They wonder if it's Christ or Antichrist. But Revelation 6 and 1 says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice of thunder, Come. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat thereon had a bow, and there was given unto him a crown, and he came forth conquering and to conquer." The white horse rider here is neither Christ nor Antichrist, but Christ in a modern-day body of believers called the man-child. Just as Jesus came in the beginning of the first 3.5 years of the disciples' tribulation, so the man-child will come at the beginning of the first 3.5 years of the end-time tribulation. So why must this be the first seal judgment? Well, 1 Peter 4:17 says, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begin first at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God?" Just as the man-child Jesus brought the unleavened bread of the truth, confirmed with signs and wonders, which made Israel and her leaders responsible to repent or be judged, so it will be with the end-time man-child and spiritual Israel. John 9:39 says, "And Jesus said, For judgment came I into this world, that they that see not may see, and that they that see may become blind." Simeon prophesied that the man-child Jesus would cause both the reprobation of some and the grafting in of others, because Jesus was a type. And he said, "You will see me again," in Luke 16, as a little baby born, a little man-child baby born to a woman. And you find that in Revelation. That is Jesus coming in his people, in his first fruits. So Luke 2:34 says, "Behold, this child is set for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which is spoken against." Jesus was also a sign that the end-time man-child would bring the same judgment. And as it was with Jesus and Judaism, the man-child will be spoken against by the apostate Christians. Moses, as a man-child, brought the law, which made the rebels responsible and brought judgment. Romans 4:15, "For the law worketh wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there transgression." So what does the white horse represent? As the mind of man uses his body as a beast of burden to do his work, so the horse is harnessed as a beast of burden to do his work. The horse represents the body or the beast. Psalm 147:10, "He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh no pleasure in the legs of a man." He's comparing the horse with a man. To ride a white horse symbolizes to completely harness the strength of your body or beast to do righteous work, because it's clothed in white, right? And white and clothing, of course, is our works. An overcomer's ride white horses because their body is in submission to the spiritual man who submits to the Holy Spirit. And so the spiritual man rides the horse, not the other way around. The wicked is the other way around. So those who walk by faith do not give any authority to the mind of the flesh to rule, but instead rule over it. And although the man-child will be the first fruits of the white horse riders in our day, the elect of the woman will also follow their Lord on white horses to finish off the judgment after the tribulation. Revelation 19:11. And I saw the heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat thereon called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And verse 14, and the armies which are in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and pure. So, wow, it's an interesting parable, you know, and shows us so much. Well, just as the latter rain outpouring of the Spirit on the man-child who receives it first, just like Jesus was the first to receive the former rain, right? Just as this latter rain outpouring on the man-child will harness his body as a white horse, so in the rest of the sealed judgments, evil spirits will ride upon the beasts of the flesh of men to bring these curses upon the earth. The difference between the man-child and the rest of the riders is that he's the one who looses these judgments like Jesus, Moses, Jeremiah, etc. did. That's why he's first, is to loose these other judgments upon the earth. And as you can see, Moses loosed the judgments upon the earth. He was the man-child to bring them into the wilderness. All right? Revelation 6:3 says, and when he opened the second seal, I heard a second living creature saying, come. And another horse came forth, a red horse. And to him that sat thereon, it was given to take peace from the earth, and that they should slay one another. This is where your big war is coming right here. You know, we've been praying away the war that the deep state is trying to start in order to deflect eyes from their sins, and also to bring in money into the elite's coffers so that they can do these things. Trump basically has been robbing them of their ill-gotten gain, so that they've stolen from us, right? So this was the whole earth slaying one another. That's a real world war there now. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, come. And I saw, and behold, a black horse. And he that sat thereon had a balance in his hand. And I heard, as it were, a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a measure of wheat for a shilling, and three measures of barley for a shilling, which is famine, right? And the oil and the wine hurt thou not. And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come. And I saw, and behold, a pale horse, and he that sat upon him, his name was Death, and Hades followed with him. And there was given unto them authority over a fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, famine, and with death, and by the wild beasts of the earth. Remember that Jesus said, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. And authority in this case is the right to use the power of the demons, Paul did that, 1 Corinthians 5 and 5. He turned a man over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh so that his spirit would be saved in the day of the Lord. So he exercised authority over their power. The man-child will exercise authority to pass it on to the woman to bring the same sword, famine, and death to those who return evil for good. Amen. And also Jeremiah was a type of the man-child who loosed the judgments to come. Jeremiah 18 and 20. Shall evil be recompensed for good? It sure happens that way. I don't know. You know, I've watched it, you know, in the last years of treating people very good and kindly. And when they wouldn't give up their sins, they were turned over to a reprobate mind by God. And they, all of them, returned evil for the good that I gave to them. And they did that to Jesus, and they did it to David, and et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, if anyone returns evil for good, evil will not depart from his house, we're told in Psalms, right? And it doesn't. For they have digged a pit for my soul. Remember how I stood before thee to speak good for them, to turn away thy wrath from them. Therefore, deliver up their children to the famine, and give them over to the power of the sword, and let their wives become childless and widows, and let their men be slain of death, and their young men smitten of the sword in battle. So Moses and Samuel represent the same type of the man-child whose words and teachings to the woman will bring forth the same judgments. In 15 and 1, we're told, Then said the Lord unto me, Though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind would not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight, and let them go forth. And it shall come to pass, when they say unto thee, Whither shall we go forth? Then thou shalt say to them and tell them, Thus saith the Lord, Such as are for death to death, and such as are for the sword to the sword, and such as are for famine to the famine, and such as are for captivity to captivity. So Jesus in his first fruits man-child will send forth the disciples with the word of God to bring the judgments that were spoken about on the world. Revelation 6 and 2. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat thereon had a bow, and there was given unto him a crown, and he came forth conquering and to conquer. So notice he's in the throne. In Revelation 12, the man-child was caught up to the throne, and then he taught the woman in the wilderness for 3.5 years, just like Jesus did. Because it is Jesus in the heart of the man-child David body. So notice that he has a bow, but no arrows, meaning they have been sent forth. You know, apostle means one sent forth. And Jesus was from Judah, and he sent forth his 12 apostles, and then the 70 disciples. And so the man-child is spiritually a corporate body from Judah, and will be the bow that sends forth these arrows, these disciples, right? And Zechariah 9 and 13 says, For I have bent Judah for me. There's the bow. And I have filled the bow with Ephraim. Ephraim was called in Hebrew the fullness of nations. The Gentiles in Genesis 46 and 19, and represents the woman or the church of all nations. And I will stir up thy sons, O Zion, against thy sons, O Greece, which was the beast kingdom, and will make thee as the sword of a mighty man. And the Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as lightning. And verse 15 says, Lord of hosts will defend them, and they shall devour. As Jesus' disciples went forth to conquer the mind of the beast that ruled over the elect of God, so will the men child disciples. And Psalm 127:3 says, Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of youth. Jesus' disciples, whom he sent out like arrows, were his children of youth. For he's had many since then, right? He called his disciples children. John 13:33 and 21:5. He called his disciples children. In Isaiah's prophecy of the coming of Jesus as Emmanuel, he called his disciples his children. Isaiah 7:14, 8:16, and 18. The worldwide man-child will send forth the disciple arrows to conquer the flesh, the beast, and the devil. In Psalm 127:5, Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be put to shame when they speak with their enemies in the gate. Yeah, talking about children. The disciple arrows will go forth to conquer the enemies in the gate. And that's the gate of the kingdom with the spoken word. That's what they do. They send go forth with the word as the sword of their mouth, right? And devour the enemies. Jesus, who was the light and called his disciples sons of light, John 12:36, also said that the light would bring judgment when men denied it. John 3:19. And this is the judgment, that light is come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil. The man-child and the disciple arrows will once more bring the light of truth, which will judge the world. This judgment will begin at the house of God and spread outwards. And as it was with Jesus, those who reject the light will be reprobated, while those who accept it will be the sons of light. The white horse rider will bring truth, which is the foundation for all judgment. Remember that Moses, who was the white horse rider of his day, brought all the judgments upon Egypt. And as a type of the man-child, he led all the other colored judgment horses of Revelation chapter 6. So the Lord comes, let me say, with earthquake in order to judge the wicked. Now this can be physical or a spiritual earthquake or both. Right. In the same context of the Lord coming on a white horse to judge the sheepfold of Edom, he comes at a spiritual Red Sea judgment of the wicked who persecuted God's people. Very interesting how all of this ties together so well. Isaiah 63:10-13. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and himself fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, Where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? There's the Red Sea judgment, which we've talked about so much, which is going to be finished very soon, when all of the the faction gets caught in God's Red Sea judgment in the church and in the government, right? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit in the midst of them, that caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses? There's applying it to Moses. That divided the waters before them to make himself an everlasting name, that led them through the depths as a horse in the wilderness, so that they stumbled not. There it is, applying to them as a horse in the wilderness. And in the same context, he also comes with a great earthquake or earthquakes to judge the wicked, those who hate his people, and to save the righteous from them. Isaiah 64, 1 through 4. Notice it's all in the same context. He's showing parable after parable there, and showing us that they run parallel and that this is the job of the end time man child. Isaiah 64, 1 through 4. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, and that thou wouldest come down, and that the mountains might quake at thy presence. So here's the presence of the Lord and the earthquake. As when fire kindleth the brushwood, and the fire causes the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries. So he's coming to judge his adversaries, so that the nations may tremble at my presence. There is the shaking at the coming of the Lord. And that's the coming of the Lord in his man-child. And when thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down, and the mountains quaked at thy presence. For from of old men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen a God besides thee, who worketh for him that waiteth for him. So he's coming to save his people. He's coming to smite the factions in order to save his people. The Lord is often seen in Scripture visiting the earth with earthquakes in judgment on the wicked in order to save his people from the factious. Here's one. And there's many. I'm just going to name a few here. Numbers 16, 28 through 33. And Moses said, hereby you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. You know, the Lord sends people to do his work. He sends men, child people to do his work. And they're always opposed. Always. All the way through the Scriptures. Because the Lord comes unto his own, and his own receives him not. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the ground open its mouth, earthquake, and swallows them up with all that appertains unto them, and they go down alive into Sheol, that's the place of the dead, then you shall understand that these men have despised the Lord. We've also likened this to being swallowed up by their flesh, because the flesh came from the earth, right? And people who walk after the flesh are swallowed up by their flesh and their sins, and they can't see their sins. Of course, anybody looking at them can see their sins, but they can't see them. They're so self-justified. They don't need any justification of Scripture, because you can't phase them with Scripture. And it came to pass, as he made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, and their households, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. Korah, of course, caused a faction in the midst against the leadership, the ordained Moses, Aaron leadership. Right? So they and all that appertained unto them went down alive into Sheol, and the earth closed upon them. and they perished from among the assembly. And Judges 5 and 4 says, And the Lord went, when thou went forth out of Shur, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, sounds familiar, doesn't it? The Lord came out of Edom and judged the sheepfold, and the blood was on his garments, right? The earth trembled. The heavens also dropped. Yeah, the earth trembled. There it is again. Yea, the clouds dropped water. The mountains quaked at the presence of the Lord. Quite often at this visitation, it's called a visitation many times in Scripture, there's this earthquake showing up. Even Yon Sinai at the presence of the Lord, the God of Israel. Also, 1 Samuel 14, 15 and 16 says, And there was a trembling in the camp, in the field, among all the people. The garrison and the spoilers. There they are, right there. The spoilers. And these are people, of course, we know them. They go out to spoil the works of God, the gospel of God, take it down wherever they can take it down. And they they also trembled, and the earth quaked. There it is again, the earth quaked. So there was an exceeding great trembling. And the watchman of Saul of Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away. They went hither and thither, because that judgment took them down, took them out. Also, 2 Samuel 22, 4 through 20. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. So the Lord is coming to save his people from the enemies. For the waves of death compassed me. The floods of ungodliness made me afraid. Have you ever seen ungodliness like we're seeing today? Oh my gosh. Crazy people. Crazy. No common sense whatsoever, evil to the bone. The cords of Sheol were round about me. The snares of death came upon me. In my distress I called upon the Lord. Yea, I called unto my God. And he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven quaked and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and thick darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, yea, he was seen upon the wings of the wind, and he made darkness his pavilions round about him. Gatherings of waters, thick clouds of the skies, at the brightness before him, coals of fire were kindled. And the Lord thundered from heaven. There it is again. The Most High uttered his voice. He sent out arrows and scattered them. Lightning and discomfited them. Then the channels of the sea appeared. The foundations of the world were laid bare. By the way, that can very well happen with Planet X going by. You will see water ceasing to be in some places and rising up in others. By the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from on high, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me, there's the many waters again. He delivered me from my strong enemy. Yep, they all went down in the waters. From them that hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They came upon me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. There's that large place again. He delivered me because he delighted in me. All right. So, who will escape this shaking? Well, we just got another vision from Shalonda Kelton, or actually two visions from Shalonda Kelton. 6:21:19. And we called it the pure who are at rest escape. Because listen, folks, the deep state aligned with Islam in the country is going to attack. And we've been saying this for over a year, maybe 2 years even. Probably more like 2 years. We've been saying that this is going to happen. Now is the ideal time because they're being forced into a corner. And they're going to use the people that they've used around the world, Islam. And who they favor in the government, Islam. And who they, on and on. And who attacks God's people, which are their mortal enemies, Islam. Yeah. So they're going to use them again. This is going to be their undoing. But they're also going to undo a lot of Christians who are under this judgment that we're talking about. So we call this the pure who are at rest escape. Shalonda said, I had two visions. The first one was I saw between two buildings. She was looking down between two buildings where it was really dark. And as we will see, this represents God's people between two factions in the church and the deep state or Babylon. God's people are in between these two factions, looking at both of them, right? That's these buildings. Buildings are the houses of peoples, right? There was a little space between them, and light was coming in, and I saw dark blue cars parked on a street. Okay, the dark blue represents God's heavenly blue people whose vehicles are at rest in Him. This body is a vehicle for us, right? And when your body ceases from its own works, of course, God can do His. So these vehicles are at rest. They're parked. And through repentance and faith in His promises, we enter into the rest, which is the place of safety and deliverance and all the provision of God. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Where is that? In Christ Jesus. If you abide in the secret place of the Most High, you're under the shelter of the Almighty, aren't you? Who's going to bother you under there? Then a second vision came. In this one, there were the same blue cars parked, but they each were in a white box-shaped parking spot. You know how they paint white on the ground for a parking spot? Like the kind you see downtown. Well, the whited box, I believe, represents that it marks a place of purity, white, and safety from traffic. So the box is there because you know you're in a safe zone to park, right? Okay. So there is safety represented here for the blue cars. And I saw that parallel to the cars was a crack going down the road. So you got a road going between two buildings, right? The cars are on one side in a parking place. And a crack going down the road. And that perpendicular to the cars was another crack going down the road, which went the opposite. Not the opposite, but perpendicular to the first one. So basically, this crack was around the cars, but between the buildings. And so she saw this other crack going down the road, and so that the cars would not be able to go anywhere because they basically had boxed them in, right? And what I see there is that the righteous stay at rest. But an earthquake, whether spiritual or physical or both, causes division between, in this case, I believe is speaking about the deep state and the apostate church. But it goes around the righteous and spares them. Oh, so we're seeing that the righteous are going to be delivered. But the division between the deep state and the Christians, of course, is when they raise up the Muslims to kill as many Christians as they think that they can. And believe me, this is coming. This is happening. I mean, we discovered that Babylon attacked the apostate people of God because they were apostate. God brought them there to do that. And they conquered them by sword. We've had dreams about this now. The swords in the hands of the Muslims killing people in our cities. They, by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence, and by fire. Because there's so many verses about the houses of the apostates being burned with fire. So I believe we're going to see a war in America against the Christians to remove the Christians. Obama planned that too. And of course, he may still be behind some of this, but at least the deep state is behind this to bring down the Christians, their mortal enemy. They know it's the Christians and conservatives that put Trump in there, and that's his foundation. And if they get rid of them, they can get rid of him before the election. So I believe you're going to see this. And I mean, we've received it so many times. I mean, the same thing, the sword, the famine, the pestilence, and then the fire is sometimes a little bit separate from that, but it's also spoken of how Babylon took down the apostates. So, you know, we've got that. That's in the scripture so many times, it should be paid attention to. We know that Cyrus eventually did conquer Babylon, the deep state, and he will. And I believe all of America is going to turn against the deep state and Islam very quickly after this happens. They're going to be able to prove very well who sent them and who did this, and the Muslims did it, and I believe a lot of Muslims are going to be sent home, if not killed. And so I'm not against the Muslims being here, receiving Christ or whatever. I'm against them here in order to conquer the country for their God. So, but we thank the Father that he's not going to let this happen. And that even though they are going to get in a lick here, there is going to be a division, a strong, heavy division, judged by an earthquake, between the deep state and apostate Christianity in America. And the reason I say apostate Christianity because is that God says who dies and who doesn't. He says who dies from their plagues and who doesn't. He did it in Egypt and he'll do it today. And he says who dies from their sword and who doesn't. The Lord God Almighty. He is in control and we can put our trust in him. You know, Psalm 91, the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, thank you, Father, for your mighty, mighty protection for your people. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that you will strengthen your people to walk in holiness and boldness of faith. And if our heart condemns us not, we have boldness towards God. You're going to need boldness towards God in these coming days, because there's going to be some trouble. I don't know how long it's going to last. It'll be, I believe, a short period of time, weeks, whatever. But it will be conquered. And the deep state is losing power now. It's losing its ability to vote because the Democratic Party is so foolish that everybody can see it. Even the fools can see it, for goodness sake. And they're beginning to speak up. So, you know, the Lord did this. The Lord takes away the wisdom of Edom. That's what the Bible says. And so he's taking away their wisdom, and they're making such foolish mistakes that it's turning the country against them. And, of course, they have to do something before the election to turn this thing around. They're trying to start a world war in order to gain more money in their coffers, because that's what the elite make money off of, is killing people, sacrificing the people of the world to Satan. And that's how they make their money. And also they're being cut off in every direction. This new economic system they're coming in with totally cuts them out of the loop. They've been robbing and plundering the people here and around the world for many, many, many years. And they've killed anybody opposed them, any president that opposed them, they've killed them. All this is going to be known. The Lord wants to show us that some of the stuff we've been pledging allegiance to, not myself, but the people of Christianity have been pledging allegiance to, is the devil himself, for goodness sake. So we thank you, Father, for your mercy and your grace. And thank you, too, for blessing Michael here as he comes forward to share a word with the brethren, and bless the brethren to receive and to walk in the truth. Sanctify yourselves, folks. This judgment is coming. Sanctify yourselves in the name of Jesus. Amen.